There was that commercial we were watching about the Star Wars underoos.
Right, exactly.
God, that was disturbing on many, many levels.
The fact that you could have 8-year-old children dancing around on screen in their underwear...
For money, now that you think of it as well.
Actually, yeah, they got paid to do that. That was part of the reason why I had done a speech in class about the exploitation of children on TV, specifically babies. Because you have to make babies sit around all day in diapers and whatnot. You're basically making them do whatever they want. And they have those commercials where it's like, oh yeah, you know, show the baby's ass there. And like, I don't want to see baby's ass on TV. Not that it makes me uncomfortable, but more the fact is that I know it comes out of a baby's ass, and I'm not entirely pleased with the idea of seeing one on television.
I don't think they're going to show babies shitting on television.
Yes.
See, first off, here's my big problem. Is that those boys get the short shrift. They just get a picture of Darth Vader or Boba Fett on their on the front of their underwears.
Yeah, and specifically on the t-shirt itself.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I don't even think the underwear itself had... Like the pants, they didn't have any sort of like image on them, I don't think.
Yeah. You know, there's a joke in here somewhere about that girl getting molested by Anthony Daniels.
Yeah.
So Boba Fett is here, which means Darth Vader's always near. First off, that doesn't follow logically.
Yeah, that's demonstrably untrue, even by the movies.
But then it gets on to the girls. C-3PO has lots of style.
No, but okay.
But you can imagine him being a hairdresser very easily.
Oh, I see.
So... And R2-D2 just makes me smile. the whole function of an astromech droid has been...
To make little girls smile.
Comic relief at this point, yeah.
Yeah. Well, all the little kids really interested in, I guess, at the time were that, oh, look, it's a cute little robot. Forget the fact that he's the most useful thing in the entire...
But this is the problem. We were, like, when those underoos commercials came out,
yeah.
We were target market.
True.
And I think at that point, we knew that he was useful.
It's hard, though, to say that C-3PO has lots of style, and R2-D2 is the most competent droid on the screen.
That wasn't hard for you, was it?
The thing that... Okay, when I was young, I never really was into Star Wars. It didn't really interest me. I clearly was not the target market at the time anyway.
Star Wars Boba Fett is here. That means that Darth Vader's always near. C-3PO is a molester. And R5, R7 has a bad motivator.
When we were in Superstore the other day and we were looking at the figures, what the hell was that R unit? It was like R7...
Z0?
X0? What the hell is that? What generation would that be?
Now you'll have to go to the Astromech Droid wiki.
Wiki, yeah.
Yeah.
I believe the R7s had a more conical shape on their top.
Comical.
But keep in mind as well that even in the old times of the Republic, not the old Republic, but the... What's his name?
Emperor Palpatine.
I met Darth Vader. We were best
Dooku?
Buddies.
Oh, Obi-Wan?
Obi-Wan Kenobi.
Oh, good.
Had a droid named R9. His R9 was the one that was part of his Jedi Starfighter.
So, is it just that it's just a designation, and then at some point, like, they're just randomly generated designations? Is that the point?
I wonder if they might actually be lines of bots.
Yeah, because they mentioned that he is an R4 unit, and the other, when they're doing the escape from Naboo, and they're running the barricade,
right.
Or whatever, they've got a bunch of R4 units, and then that, units, and then R2-D2 is the only one that survives that.
And assuming a hexadecimal code as well... In encoding the second half of it, that means they're not making a billion of the R2 units, right? They can only make as many as up to FF.
Oh, no, I think they're actually making, you know, billions of these things, and in fact, the R2 designation is actually much like what we'd have here on Earth with cars, like the R7 or the RX-8.
Oh, I see.
And you've got the 2009 R2 units.
True, but I mean, this is R2-D2, and we never meet another R2-D2.
Yeah, all of their names are unique to them, it seems.
Like, you know,
like C-3PO.
Yeah,
but that's a unique thing.
But R2-D2 is a, I guess you could say, buy the new Before Yavin edition R2 unit.
Actually, I guess it could go all to ZZ, because we've proven that you can have a Z in the code.
Oh, goody.
Oh, yeah, so, Z0.
Yeah, so you can have 0 through 9, so that's 10 plus 26, so there's 36 in each location, so 36 by 36 is an awful lot.
I want the ZZT0P model.
What the hell sort of number base are they using? That's freakishly wrong.
It seemed like it was just it's based on 10 digits, because we never actually ever hear about other unusual numbers. I mean, you know, this is Fleur, you know, or Glarg.
Oh, the number Glarg.
Yeah, the number Glarg, you know?
Yes.
Wait, what language is everything based on? Because we've seen text, and it's always bizarre, right?
Yeah,
they've shown us text, and we can't read it because
that's
it's
common.
Alien language,
mm-hmm.
right?
That's the funny thing.
What are their number systems based on?
Base blorp?
I don't know. Okay, whenever they're talking, it's always mentioned in terms of, like, I'm trying to think of a specific instance, but it always seems like it is based on multiples of 10, right? Because you know how you always say, oh, there were hundreds of them, or, you know, there's
yeah.
a thousand of those things. We always use a base 10 number to assume an estimate. There's never like, oh, there were threes of them.
Yeah.
You know? So, safe to assume it's a base 10 thing. Because everybody has 10 fingers. That's
no.
Well, I mean, okay. Everybody who matters has 10 fingers.
What about Kit Fisto?
Kit Fisto doesn't have 10 fingers?
I don't know.
I think Kit Fisto has 10 fingers.
I just wanted to bring up Kit Fisto again.
Everybody, well, okay, most of the people we've seen in the Senate and who ran the Senate, right?
Clearly, appear to have 10 fingers,
you know, right. So that seems to be the more
evolved thing to do.
Yeah, well, it's more prevalent anyway, and so it's like, okay, that would probably be the most likely thing, and so therefore, if you're counting by tens, because you have 10 fingers and you put a mark in a wall, and then you count by 10 fingers again and put another mark in the wall, so...
So it's all based on prison rape culture.
Yeah. How many times have I been raped this month? I'll put a mark on my cave wall.
Yeah, but still, if they're using the entire, you know, English alphabet...
Yeah, right. Except, well, yeah, because we've never actually seen... We've never seen a letter fall in the second position of a droid name.
And nothing...
And never a number in the first.
And we never see anything written in English. It's always written in that crazy script.
So what if...
So it's letter, number.
Always.
Or... Because some of them have, like, what is the G40, isn't it? Isn't that the interrogator droid? I can't remember the number for that.
I just remember UG-88.
Here's another wrench to throw in your mix, though.
Right.
There's got to be more than one droid manufacturer. What if they number their droids differently?
Well, we've seen that already, right?
Scheme.
Yeah, but we were talking specifically about the R-Series Astromechs.
Mm.
And now, as we've seen, there are other droids that are in existence that use a completely different scheme. Because it wouldn't make sense. I mean, the thing is, it's not like when Honda makes a Civic that the Accord has to have all the same model designations as well.
Have some tea.
I'll have some tea.
In the KOTOR series, is it an assassin droid? Isn't that like HK-47?
Yes, it is.
So that throws the scheme out entirely too, because that's letter, dash, number.
But that's only in cases of certain types of droids, or like C-3PO doesn't spell his name C-3PO.
Oh, don't get me started. We never see it written in the series. So is it C-3PO or
is it C-3P0?
Yeah.
You see it written in the books, and it's like phonetically C-3PO.
Oh God.
It's not even numbers and letters. It's C-E-E and then
3PO.
Yeah, everyone calls him 3PO.
Yeah, and then that's always written out T-H-R-E-E-P-I-O.
Yeah. So,
why can't
which sounds like a Douglas Adams name.
That's not my name, Master. Don't call me Rude Boy.
Right.
Don't call me R2.
Oh yeah, and R2 is a huge, huge asshole. Especially in the prequels. Like, if you think about that scene specifically when he uses the jets to light the oil on fire to destroy the other robots, the drones.
I don't remember that.
Drones.
Okay.
Like, they're in the hangar bay, and he's like gets attacked, and so he sprays them with oil, and they slip, and it's very comical.
Yeah.
And then he like flies with his jet back,
and there is a close up of his jets.
Yeah.
Igniting the oil.
Ah.
Yeah.
Make it very
clear. And then he laughs. He's like flying around laughing while they're burning.
So he has a very clear idea of whose side he's on as well. It's not just a...
side of evil.
And he's incredibly sneaky.
Yeah.
Like holding a lightsaber and then shooting into the air on Boba Fett's
Or
Hutt's...
Jabba's floating palace.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, even just the thing of he starts rolling away from C-3PO, like when they land on Tatooine, right?
Yeah.
Very beginning. It's just kind of like, I'm going this way. And just to kind of settle that argument, it's like, you know, we're going to sit here and you're going to bitch about this for a while, or I'm just going to go ahead and do what needs to be done.
Did you see the thing that Simon Pegg and Nick Frost did?
No.
They reenacted that scene, and it's just beautiful.
Oh, something on YouTube, I'm guessing? Or
I think they put it on Funny or Die.
Oh, okay.
But I'm not sure. Just look for shot-for-shot recreation Star Wars Simon Pegg and Nick Frost.
Okay. That's a very long title, but I'm sure if I type it in, I'll find it eventually.
Yeah, Funny or Die, that site lets you not watch things.
Yeah, that site.
It's Flash only? What a shame.
Yeah.
We have the technology.
We can rebuild it?
We can watch a lot of things on other websites.
I don't think that's how the start of the $6 million man.
No, but that's how much it costs these days to take Flash off your website, apparently, and put to make it all HTML5.
Or $41 million to make it so you can have a paywall.
Yeah, Christ, that was funny.
Yes.
Oh, God.
Or launch a Colors app.
Did you use Colors?
Nope.
Yeah. The thing is, I saw that come up. And I thought to myself, wait, it's yet another application that lets me take pictures of stuff, but now I get to geotag it. And
no, you don't.
I don't know what you do with it, right? But to me, it's the same as Hipstamatic. It's the same as Instagram. It's the same as anything that's not already the
Except
camera.
Except it's social.
Yeah, it's the same as anything that's already not the camera app on my iPhone. And even in Twitter, though, it's like, I want to send a picture. My first thought is, I'm going to take a picture of that so that I can send it to everybody. It's never, I should tweet this, so let's go into Twitter and open up and write my tweet, and now I'll take a picture of it. It's always like, I'll take a picture of it so I can
and
send
then
it to somebody.
Yeah.
You know, my thinking's always reversed to the way the Twitter thing works, even though I eventually just want to put it on Twitter.
Sometimes if I'm still in the same spot while I'm tweeting and I look at the library picture and it's like, that's unacceptable, I will use the camera function inside Twitter.
Yeah, and take another shot, which makes complete sense. You know, I'm glad they have that in there.
Yeah, I always accidentally leave HDR on, so it's always like I've got two copies of the picture. And one of the lighting's slightly different. Taking a close-up picture of text, you piece of crap. Don't need this.
I think it's mostly... Part of the reason why I do that is because... Two, because I can't get a decent shot the way I always like it the first time I try to take a picture of something, right? Because I had a cereal box I want to take a picture of, and I wanted to put the picture up on through Twitter and say something snarky about it. And so I go to take a photo. And what happens? The photo comes out all blurry, so I have to go back and I have to focus again, and then I take another photo, and then it's like, just keep doing this over and over, because I'm like, it keeps fucking this up every single time.
Yeah.
So, imagine if I was inside Twitter, and I already had my thing written, I would feel like I'm like inches away from finishing, you know, like I'm almost at the finish line here, I have my snarky little comment, I have my other thing I have to say, it's all ready, and then I have to take 10 photos until I get the right photo, and it would just be driving me nuts. But
then no one retweets it or comments on it.
Yeah, exactly, what the hell.
Yeah.
Or, even better, I go to send it to Twitter, and Twitter says, oh, error accessing gateway.
And then save to draft.
Yeah.
And then you go to redo it, and... You can't tell if it posted or not, but it's still in your drafts.
Yeah.
And you try to post it again, and it's like, we already posted it, and like you refresh your Twitter stream, and it doesn't show up.
Yeah.
And you have to wait, like, an hour.
Yeah, just to know that something... Normally, you text something in text, and it's like, oh, yeah, look, it just happened. You can see it in your timeline.
Imagine.
I've forgotten why it was funny in the first place.
Yep.
And then it never was again.
Mesh tanks.
We were talking about underoos.
We were talking about underoos, and we were talking about Star Wars, because there were Star Wars underoos, which is the more important thing than the underage girls.
Yes, exactly.
Look, sir, underage droids.
Oh, wow.
That's why they weren't allowed in the bar.
They would especially not be allowed in that bar.
Yes. Actually, no. The Mos Eisley, we don't know, but there's probably some, like, sex trade going on in that town.
There's gotta be. Well, there has never been
scum and villainy.
Exactly.
So... I don't know, like...
It's probably completely
okay,
out in the open.
This is Obi-Wan saying it. So what scum and villainy has he been exposed to in the past?
Yeah.
Like, come on.
And he's, I mean, he flew around a lot of the universe, right?
He never gone anywhere.
Yeah, so he's been to a lot of different places in the galaxy, and he's supposed to be a priest, right? So obviously, he gambling, you know, singing Not on a Sunday might be like...
Playing an instrument with your nose orifice.
Yeah, could all that stuff could be scum and villainy.
The question is, though, why choose Tatooine?
For Mos Eisley?
No, for a place to have Luke grow up.
I thought it was because his relatives.
Or it was remote.
I think it was remote. He did have relatives there?
I think it's remote, and the Hutts have a, the airspace controlled.
Okay, yeah, that would keep the Empire.
So they can't, there's no satellites viewing it, and other things. And it's not part of the Republic.
Oh, I had no idea. Oh,
yeah, they've got their own independent currency, as far as I know.
Wow.
Hut bucks.
Yeah, that's why they don't take Nubian dollars in the earlier...
Yeah, you mean the first movie.
Yeah, in the first
right.
movie.
Yeah. Nubian.
Hot Nubian dollars.
Yeah. They do take Republic credit, but not Nubian dollars, so no conversion.
That's a good question. Would that mean that, what's her name, Natalie Portman is a Nubian princess?
Yes.
Yes.
Wow. Most racist movie ever.
They cast a white girl as a Nubian princess. And then they painted her face up in whiteface just to make the point.
Like a geisha.
Yeah. That was a bad look.
It did look exotic and interesting, and I think that was the point.
No, I think the first word was correct. It looked exotic. To me, it wasn't interesting at all. It looked...
Well, her hair was interesting.
Well, there's that.
And it was sort of a... whole look, not just she's walking around in normal everyday clothes with her face painted.
That's true, yeah. But it seemed like it's very much like the fact that she's done up like that is to satisfy some sort of traditional
fetish.
Yeah, or fetish, but I mean some sort of traditional thing, you know.
Yeah, but as far as we know, it's part of her being the queen.
Mm-hmm.
Because like once she wasn't the queen, and it appeared that like in her everyday walking around, she didn't want to dress like that. So it's not her own preference. It's part of the office being queen.
When you're on planet, you have to look like this because you're the queen.
And especially if you're doing ambassador things and representing your planet, then, you know, you represent your cultural background.
God, you have to have all the hair.
I almost would have preferred if they had a scene where they showed her getting kind of put up into that stuff. You know, or she's right in the middle of having it finished.
Yeah, instead of, this is my handmade Padme.
Well, of
yeah.
course, you never, that's the thing. She's never the one wearing it.
Yeah.
It's always her handmaidens.
No, it must be her at some point.
I don't know.
They must have a rotation. Or maybe it's a random. Maybe
because
she just wakes up some day and is kind of like, I'm not wearing that shit today.
Always present when she's talking to people. Can her handmaids make decisions that are important, like, we should go to Tatooine?
Oh.
Yeah, one of the girls has a stroke one day, and all of a sudden decides that I'm going to declare war on that satellite that's orbiting us, and then Padme has to be like, oh, Miss, you're so tired, you should come back to the room, and she slaps her around a little bit, like, you know, get out of the
fire.
Fucking costume, you know?
Also, how many people on the staff know that
mm-hmm.
the handmaids...
And what on what day which handmaiden is what?
If the queen
mm-hmm.
decides someday, she's kind of like, oh, this is a pretty good gig. Sentence this one to death. She displeases me.
And that might be another reason for the makeup, because, you know, they're not all clones of her.
Mm-hmm.
But that's why Nubians all look the same.
I heard the Burdock music sting. Separating...
Yeah.
Separating the whatever we call them, segments.
Except now that I've got you saying that in the recording,
yeah.
I would normally just wait till you finish saying I heard the thing, and then I would say it, do it.
Yeah.
But now I've been talking about it, and it's very meta, so maybe I won't put it in at all.
Wait, so this episode is going to be an episode where we don't get to hear the opening music until the very end?
Wow.
Actually, I think it would be better if, almost in a way, if after he says that thing, there's the sting, and then there's the stuff we say, but every time one of us says something, the sting happens again in very short succession.
It's just a small burst of the sting,
yeah.
Not the usual 5 seconds.
And then cut off, and then you start saying something, and then it starts again. And, yeah.
And then after he says that, we do hear the final song, and then it comes out to us laughing, and then it continues into this where we're talking about what we should do.
Exactly. All the after stuff, how we're going to punch up the entire show.
Punch up.
Oh. Feel strongly like I want to get that thing down that I said about the underage thing. We're watching these 8-year-old girls essentially, and I don't know of any 8-year-old girl that was really that into Star Wars would be like, I want some underwear of, okay, you, okay. So then it does happen. So clearly Corey was enough into it that she would have worn underwear of her favorite people.
Except I was a girl.
Yes. So, but they made underoos for girls, so you would have been allowed to, but you weren't allowed to be in Star Wars.
Well, no, it's just that I don't know that underoos existed at all while I was a child.
Underoos were one of those things that, I've got 8 years on you.
I'm a child of the 90s.
Yes, I remember underoos being out, and the problem is, though, is that they were only available at your major retailers, right, like at Sears. And I don't know if the Bay carried them, but I know that Sears carried something like underoos or similar to underoos.
And I was in the far north until the middle of the 90s.
Exactly. I lived in Medicine Hat, which is still it's removed from a major metropolitan center as well.
Fort Nelson.
Yes.
And then Fort St. John, Prince George.
Yeah, so the fact that we had, like, 3 packs of underoos sitting in the Sears whatever.
Right.
Catalog.
Yeah, well, we had an actual Sears. Not even, like, the catalog center. We had an actual Sears.
I don't think before I was, like, maybe 6 or 7, I would have shown an interest in anything Star Wars specifically.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think if underoos had existed, it would have mattered when I was living up north. We were very poor.
So your mom would have bought you like white briefs, and she would have like taken some blue fabric paint and said,
"Yeah,
now you're RTD2."
It would have been exactly like that. My cousin was the one that got the Star Wars figurines for Christmas and got the bed sheets and everything. And I think we made pillows out of the bed sheets.
Sorry. I mean, I don't mean to laugh, but I'm like, that is actually very stereotypically poor.
I can mesh bag training bras.
That has nothing to do with Star Wars.
Now you're Leia.
Yeah.
God. Stick a Danish on my head. Yeah.
Yep. Yep. That's what you went as for Halloween, is 8-year-old slave Leia.
No, I think I remember being a strawberry, a pumpkin, Frankenstein.
Okay. That's a strange progression.
The first non-fruit-based one.
The first one that isn't based on a trash bag and a wig and balloons.
You could have then been Frankenberry, at least.
Where did you find a red trash bag? They make those. Do they?
They did at the time. And then they made the pumpkin ones for Halloween.
You could get, like, the stage, ones. You could go as a blueberry. But yeah. You'd have to fill those blue bags.
I think it was actually my cousin's costume, and it was fabric. That one was, like, a fabric bag that had, like, the pips thrown on it. But again, you fill it with balloons, and yes.
And then somehow,
around.
Yeah, and next year, all of a sudden, it was like, well, we can't afford to borrow a costume made in a fabric.
I believe that was second grade was the strawberry, because I still had green paint in my ears when we went for when I did school photos.
Your entire head was green?
But face paint, and then I had a wig on top, but okay. We didn't manage to clean out certain areas, and it was...
Because you ran out of soap? Oh, it was 2 days
No, it was just there in weird crevices, and it was like...
I think that oil-based face paint. Yeah, I think that makes your school photos more interesting than most kids' photos.
Like up inside the top of your ears?
Yeah, so you can barely see it maybe in the photo.
It's just green tint.
I think I actually like the idea of slipping little Easter eggs into your school photos.
Yeah, we didn't get prints of that year because of that.
Oh, that's too bad. See, that's a story. You know, this is actually a good idea for a website. It's to basically compile a list of here's things that you can do with your kids so that when they go to get photos, that there's these little tiny Easter eggs that you can always remember these stories of, and then you can...
Give them a black eye!
Yeah, exactly. your kid will remember that time that you got pissed drunk and pushed him down the stairs when he shows up at school with a broken nose and a black eye for his school photos.
Yeah, the other thing that's awesome, Buzz and then lightning bolts. So my cousins were allowed to get the lightning bolts, but they were boys, and I was not a boy and not allowed to get lightning bolts.
I see.
Also, I think at that age, I was really attached to having long hair, so...
Oh, you mean cut into the side of your hair. I see. I thought you meant, like temporary tattoos put on your forehead or something. Just a big, you know, two lightning bolts in
but
the
that's temporary, whereas the hair thing lasts until your hair grows out.
Absolutely, yes. That was lightning a very... Bolt. That was a very 90s thing. Having symbols carved into your head.
For white people.
Yeah.
I did actually see someone on the bus last month with stars.
I'm glad to see it's never really gone away.
Mm-hmm.
But Ian's right, too. It is a white people thing, because at some point when black people started doing it, they stopped in a big damn hurry, it seems.
I don't know that I saw a black person until I was 10.
But you knew they existed.
Oh, yeah.
Thanks.
And I wasn't surprised. I wasn't surprised at all. I wasn't like, what is this strange creature before me?
Yes, exactly.
Thanks, Gordon from Sesame Street. Yeah.
That's it probably was point. Sesame Street was the first black person I saw.
I never questioned their race, like why people were all different colors and stuff, despite the fact that, I mean, I lived in Medicine Hat, which is it's almost entirely white-based community, like probably you and Ian lived in fucking Nemeo, I mean, so.
Mm-hmm. They need an Indian on Sesame Street. Like Lakota guy.
Yeah. They need an American Indian. I thought they had one.
They've got Spanish. They've got black.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know who represents the whites on that show. I think the Muppets.
Actually, I think there's a couple white people. Because they had Puerto Ricans as well, right?
Yes.
And so they're trying to make a continuum, I think, was the idea. Yeah. Is to try to have everyone represented as accurately as possible. Really, which is basically just saying that we had one person from every race out there, and they're all normal people, which is pretty fucking accurate. So... I keep having to move my...
retainer?
Well, night guard, because I don't want anyone to be grossed out by it, having to look at it.
On the radio?
I should just put it in the bathroom. Can I go to the bathroom? Is that okay?
No.
Damn it. I'm going anyway. I really can't eat all of a sudden.
Pancakes!
Renegade!
He is
Renegade! 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 Okay, so now we've got a large stack of pancakes all on one plate. And we all have teacups with tea in them.
Everybody
except for you, which is coffee. No, don't bring plates. That only complicates this further. Well, you can hear it very clearly from far away. Remember, this is the sweet spot?
Yes.
Yeah.
Can I hear this? Oh yeah, listener, right in your ear.
That explains the blue milk, though.
It was probably, you know, the future past equivalent of soy milk, except made from the mushrooms they farmed.
That's disgusting.
I assumed it was like bantha milk or something.
Oh God.
I don't know.
They look mammalian. They must have milk.
They do,
but
yes.
Just because they have milk, you don't hear people.
Everything
talking
else
about,
looks like a lizard.
I don't drink dolphin milk.
You don't hear people talk about how good camel milk is.
A lot of people drink it though.
Yes, and those are the people who fly airplanes into our buildings.
Wait, hang on. No, I don't even think people who live in the Middle East, where there are a lot more camels than there are here, would milk camels. I think they milk goats.
I'm pretty sure I've heard of camel milk being a drink thing, especially in tea, like yak butter or yak tea.
I think
like
if you put
camel.
The word yak in front of anything to eat, it somehow loses a bit of the...
It removes its food ability.
Yeah. I blame the prevalence of movies in the 90s using the word yak as a synonym for vomit.
I think what it is for me is, you know, if you just say, would you like some butter? Well, yes, I would. If you have to preface it with yak,
yeah,
then that means it's no longer what it could be by itself.
Mm-hmm.
Would you like some milk? Yes, please. I like milk.
Would you like some yak milk?
Well, that's different, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. Now you create a whole different situation, which I have to make an informed choice as to whether or not yak milk is tasty.
Or I have to go in and start making inferences in my head. What could yak imply?
Yeah.
Would you like some butter? It's bantha butter.
I think it would be great if you just basically treat it like, oh, have some milk, you know, and it's like, oh, I'll have some milk. And then when you, the thing is, I guess, though, if you taste it and it tastes terrible.
I think, ooh, what's wrong with this? It's yak butter.
So what are their other options? They've got Sarlacc, and they've got
Rancor.
Rancor, and they've got those things that burrow that eat the sand plums.
No. Tauntaun milk.
That's okay.
Yeah, but still, it's another option.
Yeah, but we're talking about Tatooine.
Okay,
and what are the people that live in Tatooine?
Oh, Tusken Raider milk.
That's the only other option.
Wait, there was that six-breasted thing that shows up in Jabba's palace. You could milk that.
Actually, I have to say.
That's up there with a yak.
Yeah.
Like, would you drink something that had, you know, six breasts and wasn't a cat? Would you drink cat milk?
No. See, I just don't want to eat anything or drink any milk that comes from Tatooine, because it's a desert planet.
Mm.
Whatever milk you get is going to be very concentrated.
Mm.
Probably terrible. Whereas Hoth is quite moist.
Mm.
It's cold, but moist. So Tauntaun milk would probably be pretty good.
Okay, on the continuum of things, I'm inclined to believe that, yes. I'm inclined to believe that Tauntaun milk somehow...
What do we know about Tauntauns? We only know two things about Tauntauns. They make a weird sound, and they smell terrible.
On the inside.
No.
Well, on the outside,
they
too.
They smell bad. Yes. They smell bad everywhere. They are permeated with bad smell. And what do you know about milk in the fridge if there's a bad smell in the fridge?
People drink goat milk, and goats have, like, the stinkiest balls.
Fine. What?
I am led to believe by one Dr. Adam Sandler that goats have stinky balls.
I see.
Yes.
Yes, but it's not the males that produce the milk.
Exactly. So, but you have to wonder if the females are letting the males get close to them with their smelly batch. What are they used to, and how pleased are they to actually? Because the thing is, I mean, really, a goat woman, if she didn't enjoy the smell of like stinky nuts that much. She might try to mate with something else, because goats will eat anything. I imagine they'll fuck anything as well, or let themselves be fucked by anything.
While eating.
Speaking of which, I found a website, thanks to Something Awful, called Wet Goddess, and it's stories or confessions of a dolphin lover. Yeah, it's not exactly a how-to guide to how to have sex with a dolphin, but it's the closest you're going to find.
Well, no, I mean, there is that one fact on the internet, which I would consider to be more of a how-to guide.
Mm-hmm.
This sounds like, I guess,
it's not
fan fiction?
It's not. The problem is it's not actually fantasy. Like, the guy actually did it. He had sex with a lady dolphin. Here's what I think went on. Because he says that, no, she chose me because she could have broken me in half. Because a dolphin can, you know, basically, because you have to have sex in the water. Because you can't really drag the things up onto land.
They're mammals.
Yeah, they can breathe out of water, certainly. But you don't want to let them, because...
You've got to keep them real moist. Yeah, I mean, we're talking a 4-liter bottle of Astor Glide here.
Exactly. And so I'm thinking, he had to get into the water. He probably said, I'm going to swim with dolphins today. And he gets down there. And the lady dolphin's kind of like, oh, and they get all friendly and stuff like that. You know, because not like friendly in terms of she starts rubbing her, you know.
I'm just thinking, like, how
would she do
that? The dolphin
flaps up against her.
She has limbs and she, like, just, like, stick a flipper in his crotch and start, like, slowly caressing.
I'm sure in the manga, that's how that happens. I think it was just more of a thing of like, hey, look, we're playing and we're swimming together, and this is so much fun.
She might have been asleep, and she was just kind of passively sitting there, and he was like, oh, you're not resisting.
Mm.
You're not resisting. Oh, I
but
like
you can,
it.
But you can snap me in half.
You're so strong.
She's just kind of, you know, floating there and rolling her eyes.
You're so wet. Mm-hmm. You're so smooth. What?
I like the way dolphins feel, but I don't know if I'd ever want to have sex with one. Dolphins feel really cool. They have the, like...
I have never touched a dolphin, nor have I sexed a dolphin.
Yeah. I can't tell the difference.
Between a dolphin and sex?
No. but I can't sex a dolphin.
Between touching and sex?
I can't tell the difference between touching and sex at this point. I had to broaden my definitions. I thought it was interesting, and I also thought it was a little weird, because it's like... the stance to take that, it's like, I didn't rape that dolphin, and I'm trying to, like, Yes, dolphins. Okay, dolphins are intelligent.
But we have to assume that they can't consent because we don't speak their language.
Exactly.
Because they've been screwing with us for years.
There's a point by which human cognition kicks in. And you have to say to yourself, you know, I know this animal might want to fuck me, but here's the more important thing. Do I want to fuck this animal?
Do I want to be responsible for the crossbreed?
Yeah. You know, am I willing to assume responsibility?
Is this how they take over the world?
Because do I have to be the, what do they call them? The,
is that Tatterack?
The full daddy.
So wait. Could it be that the governments have been covering up hybrid dolphin-human babies for years?
To make bomb-detecting... I see, yes.
Or just that they're hideous, and the public cannot handle this knowledge.
I'm trying to think about it as more of like it's the Aquaman project.
Also, that female dolphin must have liked sex with humans.
Yes.
So maybe she was a repeat offender.
Oh, God.
Ooh, good point.
Maybe she's the one committing bestiality.
It's a very good point. She could be, you know, coming back to that cove all the time, and you know, different dudes show up. And how long does a dolphin live?
40 years?
Maybe forever. We don't know.
Yeah. We can't
Maybe
know.
She's been doing this since the beginning of time.
I've never watched one die. You know, we're also not we're not considering the alternate thing that could be going on here. She could be a Greek goddess in dolphin
You're
form.
You're right.
We've completely...
Or a god, because there's no reason not to do that.
Zeus could have
come down as a female dolphin.
Why would Zeus want to have sex with a human man?
Well, because the human women problem has been a real issue for him in the past.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. These demigods.
Yeah. Yeah, this way From Zeus that isn't going to get pregnant because he can't get impregnated by the seed of a mortal human.
That's a good point.
Hercules, let us test this theory. Come, my son.
The Greeks
No, really.
The Greeks were really into that, weren't they?
It's on all their vases.
Mm-hmm.
And then they love to do it in the gladiatorial pit. Recreate. No, seriously. Like, Carthage, the pit there, they love to do stuff like Zeus is a bull.
Okay.
Yeah. Female gladiatorial victim.
Yep.
Rubbed with the scent of a female cow in heat.
I see.
And they get raped by a bull. For everyone's amusement.
And it was... I hope it was a human dressed up as a bull.
Nope.
No. Of course, why would they?
Now, you see,
that would be a minotaur.
Yes. You see, here's the other problem.
There's only one of those.
Not a problem at all. No, this is just an observation. They just love their faces and they love fucking men.
Mm-hmm.
Cool. I mean, if the Greek society were like today, we would just have 18 different reality shows about men fucking each other.
Yes. It's true. The real S word.
Top Chef with man fucking.
I'm picturing now how different a movie Gladiator would be if it turned out that you weren't actually, it wasn't a bunch of men fighting each other, but fucking each other to death. And I'm sure that somebody in the gay porn market...
I think that movie has already been made. That scene with the maggots where he fills it with cornmeal maggots, his wound?
Yeah.
That's not his wound in that one. That's his anus.
Ah.
And he doesn't fill it with maggots.
Oh.
Let this heal.
I sometimes feel like the downside of most porno... Is that...
It ends, you know.
Yeah.
Well, should go on forever.
They make a movie that's an hour and a half long or whatever, and they insert a pornographic scene, and usually... Okay, so let's say it's a two-hour movie, right?
Mm-hmm.
They have an obligation to obviously have sex in the movie, because it's pornography. You wouldn't say, hey, look, I got this great new porno, and you watch it and you realize that there's absolutely no sex going on in it. That would be completely pointless. But I feel like every time they have a scene, they have a need to drag it out for 25, 30 minutes.
Wait, the sex or the talking?
The sex.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
I'm like, if you're gonna go to the extreme of we're gonna buy all these sets, you know, like the really big things, like they keep talking about how pirates is this, you know, amazing spectacle of pornography.
Pirates?
Yeah, pirates. Yeah.
You didn't hear about pirates?
No, just pirates.
Oh, pirates.
Okay. No.
It's a Jenna Jameson movie, I think, okay. Too. So it was very high budget. They basically said we're gonna dump a lot of money into this. This is the new trend in porno these days.
Yes.
Other than the parody thing, because they realize that we're getting our asses handed to us with gonzo you know, amateur, semi amateur stuff.
For free on the internet.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. So why not step up our game?
Yeah.
It's the reverse of what happened in Boogie Nights, essentially. They come around and they said, we'll actually make money from this if we can give people a product that's way more interesting. So, thus the parodies, and then thus also the big budget, or bigger budget films.
Oh, I just came up with an idea.
Okay.
So what you start doing is making series. television. It's a good television series. My original idea was to actually find some people who can who are lookalikes.
Yeah.
To Edward James Olmos and the rest of the cast of Battlestar Galactica.
Yeah, okay.
And we just film, you know, a sex scene for every episode.
Hmm.
Edit it in.
Right.
You know, and make sense in the story, and then resell it.
And then those scenes where there actually are proper sex scenes in Battlestar Galactica, you just lengthen them and actually show things
that are going
on. Lengthen
them, harden them, and...
Yeah, exactly.
And then penetrate them. But then I thought, well, why not just start this right from the beginning?
And make a new sci-fi series?
Well, make a new series of anything. What you're talking about is you want arcs for your porn.
Kind of. Yeah, I mean, well, what I want is that if you're going to make a movie, why have a 20-minute sex scene in the middle of the movie? Your target market of men who are like, I want to watch somebody have sex for 20 minutes when it's going to take me 5 to do what I need to do with this movie, why not have a thing where it's like, oh, so now we'll have sex, but the sex will last for about 10 minutes at the most, and maybe even a little less than that. Like, the earlier sex scenes might only be about 5 minutes long, and then you get to one point where it's like, that's the climactic sex scene where it's 30 minutes long, and everyone's fucking everybody, and I've seen everything.
Just go with a half-hour episode.
Yeah,
and of a long-running show, you know, then you could have your 5-10-minute intro,
yeah,
5 minutes of sex right in the middle, and then, you know, you've got denouement plot after that.
Absolutely, absolutely.
But why not do this with all series that are on TV?
You basically want Legend of Galactic Heroes with sex.
Actually, no, I want Fringe with sex. But I want it produced that way. You know, the TV version can be this, whatever for TV, and then you buy the DVD, you can either buy the sex edition...
How long is Fringe? How long are Fringe episodes?
Hour, 40 like, minutes.
So 40 minutes, right?
Yeah.
So if you threw in another 10 minutes of sex, and you did that just for the DVD.
On a, and you can buy two different, you can buy the non-sex,
yeah.
You can buy the sex DVD.
Which you have to go to a special store, obviously.
But it just adds another scene to every episode that has fucking in context.
Yeah. Using characters that are in
and the actors,
yes,
who are hired in the beginning. Okay, well, you know, you're going to be in this series. You're going to have to fuck every episode.
Yeah, there's going to be hardcore sex involved. What it does do is it kind of steps up the blurring of the industry, right? Because then at that point, you have people who can be. You have to find people who are actually good actors that can carry what's going on in the show.
But also, they're good at being driven.
Exactly, exactly. This actually would be a whole... because now what you're doing is combining the porn star with the TV star, mm-hmm. or the movie star, which means we're giving a birth to a brand new breed of superstar.
But with the way celebritydom is going anyway, with these Paris Hiltons and these...
Oh, yeah, with the sex tapes and stuff.
Well, the sex tapes, I mean, it's almost there anyway.
Yeah, she was on reality shows, and she's part of a family that's extremely rich. She's done nothing of value herself. But everyone got this tape of her fucking this dude, and it's like, well, you want to be a star? We'll give you an hour-long show or a half-hour-long show, but you have to have sex in it for 5 minutes so we can sell that as on HBO or something.
We're on the path.
Yeah.
Just look at Your Highness, where Natalie Portman uses an ass double during her full nudity swimming scenes.
In Black Swan?
It is her ass, except for the diving into the pool.
Yes. It's a new movie. It's a sexy teen sex romp, except in the Middle Ages.
So it's a comedy?
Yes.
It has James Franco in it.
So you basically were taking like the teen sex romp.
Yeah, take American Pie and now
give it some Jane Eyre.
And no.
It's American earlier Pie, than that.
And now it's in
Camelot.
Not Camelot. Yeah, Camelot is a good one. I was going to call it Middle Earth. That's it.
Middle Earth or some sort of Sherwood Forest.
Yeah. There are dragons. So
wow. Okay, so it's a fantasy romp then too. Okay.
I'll be right back.
I had not heard of this project. That's actually really interesting.
No, it's not.
Well, the concept is really interesting, I think, because we'll look at
Natalie Portman having sex.
Yeah, that's interesting. But, you know, I'm actually not even that attracted to Natalie Portman. I'm just attracted to the idea of celebrities who wouldn't normally have sex in front of me having sex in front of me.
Oh, you should watch Black Swan then, but only certain parts because the movie otherwise is terrible.
I see. The thing that gets me, like, well, think of A Knight's Tale, right? I really liked A Knight's Tale for the sake that it was like, we're going to take a very standard story.
Yes.
We're going to tweak aspects of it to make it more, and we know it's a fantasy. We know the whole thing is a fantasy, and this never actually happened. It's not historically accurate. But the idea is not to make a historically accurate movie. The idea is, what happens when we take when we take the medieval movie, combine it with a...
Yeah, we take the sports jock high school formula.
Yeah.
And put it in the medieval times.
Absolutely. And I'm like, this action's a really cool idea because none of us have seen this before.
You know what my favorite part about that is?
What's that?
It broke the mold, or it broke the tradition of every movie that takes place in the Middle Ages.
Yeah.
Has to be incredibly depressing.
Yeah. Or it has to be a drama.
When's the last time you ever saw a movie that took place in the Middle Ages where people were happy, smiling, and actually having fun?
Robin Hood?
Really?
Disney's Robin Hood? But I'm sure there must be a Robin Hood type movie.
Robin Men in Tights, yes. Yeah. But that's different. That's Mel Brooks.
Yeah.
Those don't count for anything.
I mean, like a Robin Hood XXX or This Ain't Robin Hood. You know, something like... But the thing is, Robin Hood is like... It's a folk tale, right?
Mm-hmm.
I think it'd be interesting to take some folk tales and do the... you know, especially if they're interesting adventure tales, and turn them into comedy sex adventure romps in the porn arena. I think that would be kind of interesting.
Harold and Kumar rescue Maid Marian?
That's not exactly what I meant.
Wilders, Sherwood...
I actually mean like in the porn arena. I don't mean like in the teen screwball comedy arena.
The porn arena.
American High Five. Poke a hot ass.
I'm pretty sure they have the back porn arena already. Porn gladiators. It'd be something like American Pornaators.
Oh, it would be a gay porn. It would be called American Titty-ators.
I was going to make a point about this originally.
American masturbators?
Yeah. No, that
yeah, that's solo.
Well, no, that means because they're gladiators, they're going head-to-head.
Oh.
Cockfight.
Well, not even. They're not touching.
As they're wearing helmets. Yeah, nothing else.
Ranged weapons.
No, wait. Helmets, elbow pads, knee pads, and nothing else.
Yeah.
And boots.
And they're all standing in those giant caged balls.
Yes.
And they're not moving. They're just standing there jerking off and staring at each other.
But they're standing in like a pedestal or like a swing thing.
Yeah, yeah.
Swinging platform.
Oh, right. That's the game. The two of them are swinging back and forth at each other. And the first one to come on the other one, he wins.
Yes.
That also takes the sport jock thing into account because that seems to be what Soggy Biscuit's all about.
Yep.
I hate you.
Okay, when do we start?
Just give me a second to get the levels down. Just shut up in the recording. All right.
So at least it's not any LesboCon.
Oh, God. That con is still the best name for con I have ever heard of.
Well, yeah, see, was it originally like YuriCon or YuriFest?
Yuri is not the same as any LesboCon.
Yes.
I think actually this year we're going to put together our own little music festival.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to have a tribute to Annie Lennox.
Yes.
Les Paul.
Mm-hmm.
And Donatello the Ninja Turtle.
Because?
Whose signature weapon was the bow staff.
Yeah.
Or Bo Diddley.
Or Bo Diddley. That's a music fest. Fuck.
Thank you.
You're welcome.